ask your kind attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, reading again the first three verses. The 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, the first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There ye may be also. Words spoken with that heavenly divine authority by the Savior of poor lost ruined sinners, yet brought to a knowledge of his saving power, having imparted into their hearts by the Spirit of truth real living faith. Faith that believes that he is able, and sometimes when it is in strong exercise, let me say stronger exercise, they feel that he is willing. A mercy to feel that Jesus Christ, of all the sinners upon earth, is willing, as well as having the power and ability, but is willing to save you and me to the uttermost. I love to emphasize what he says himself, a quotation from the word of this morning. Not the righteous. Not the righteous, he said. Sinners, Jesus came to call. They're the characters that he has gone to prepare a place for beyond these lower skies. Having the promise of this place above, to which he has gone, where the preparation is taking place and is going on, you and I, we can only read of it and ask the Lord to give us faith to receive it and believe it. And yet we hope at times to be able to look beyond these lower things, these lower skies, and to realize that there is a rest, therefore, for the people of God. A rest. It is a little rest on earth sometimes when you're made to realize that you're one of his dear people and he's assured your conscience of her part in the dear Redeemer's blood. Born the witness with your heart that we are born of God. We mentioned to you this morning the importance of the new birth, of being born again. Only born again sinners will ever get to heaven, friends. Do you know anything of this new birth, this great change that takes place? You may say, well, I couldn't put my hand upon it. I couldn't touch it with my finger and say that was in a special place and time where the Lord began with me. What a mercy if you have to say this once. I couldn't and didn't want to pray, but now I have to attempt to pray because I feel that I have a deep concern over my own soul and eternity. There, you would never want to think of your soul if you knew nothing about the new birth. You see, it is life in the soul that makes the sinner feel and realize a deep concern about the soul. The psalmist referred to his own soul when he cried to the Lord in his trouble, And he said this concerning his own soul, deliver my darling from the lions. That's where the Lord was teaching this dear man to do business, in deep waters. And for you and I to be taught something in the deep waters of trouble and sorrow, and this is where you'll have heart troubles. And this is where the Lord says, no, let not your heart be troubled. We just opened with this morning and said to you, he didn't say your mind. He didn't say your brain. He said your heart. The center where all the trouble is. This is what really is a trial to a real child of God. There's so much trouble in the heart. There's so many oppositions. There is grace that opposes sin and sin that opposes grace. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in the creator of the ends of the earth, who fainteth not, neither is he weary. And then he goes on to say, believe also in me. What a blessing. We don't really understand this, friends, enough fully to understand what it is to believe in such a Savior. Only as the blessed Lord gives us some sweet intimation of his precious love to us and gives us some sweet assurance that Christ and heaven are ours, can we enter a little into it of what it means to believe in Christ. You see, some talk about it so glibly as if it is something you can pick up today and drop tomorrow. You can't. To believe is this, really for faith, to put our arms out and want to really embrace Christ. And you will say, if Christ and heaven then is mine, how sweet these accents, how divine. That will be believing, laying hold of something that you have, something that you possess, a truth that is written by the Spirit of God upon the tables of your heart. And you won't forget it, and you won't want to lose it. And if this is all centered, and I'm sure by the Word of God it is centered in Christ, your old affection will sooner or later be drawn toward him. Look at the world, what's it worth? Look at the things of time and since, what they were. The Lord gives us different things. What do we do with them? Make fools of ourselves and they become our idols. What is it all worth compared with this place that we'll speak of in a few moments, I hope? That he's gone to prepare for us. To believe in him that he's gone. When I read this earlier this morning, and yesterday, last evening, I thought, what a wonderful thing this is. For him to go up. For him to be taken up, to go upward. Whatever man may do, whatever they may do with the moon, they think that they're going to do with the stars and everything else, yet I really believe that heaven is up. Christ is up, the God and Father of all mercies is up, and the sooner you and I lose sight of all the material things, the earthly things, the better it will be for the benefit of our never-dying soul. What is it all worth? It's taken me a long, long, long time, many years, to have to say, Lord, I really believe this compared with Christ, in all beside, no comeliness I see. And you feel this in your heart sometimes. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Because you see, you're going to part with everything material. Do you know it? Do you realize it? Is it written indelibly upon your heart? When we went to bed last evening, I said nothing. As I walked round the room to the window, to open the window, only this. How much longer, Lord, will it be before I hope to be with Christ, which will be far better? I find an inclination to stop, to remain here. But I find at times, oh, that I had the wings of the dove, for then would I fly away to thee and be at rest. It may be a long time, I don't know, and it may be short. But what a mercy, you know, to realize this, that Jesus said. And let me quote this that we quoted this morning for the benefit of others that were not here. The Lord asked this question, believest thou this? Do you really believe that he says this, that in his Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. The opening I remember a few years ago was this. Now look, if it were not possible, and if it was not true that there's nothing above, I would have told you. I'm not going to deceive you about the matter. There's no deception about God. There's no deception about Christ Jesus. Do you believe it? I hope and trust he's written it on my heart that he's able to save to the uttermost willingly. And I also believe he's written it on my heart that there is this arrest for the people of God. That's going to be better than this lot here below. The further we go on, all that has gone on over the last month or so and week or so, all the bitterness, the violence, the greed, the anger, all the slaughter that's gone on, do you want to remain here forever? Do you? It makes me to verily quake when I consider what God might even allow to come upon us because of our sin, our iniquity, and our transgression. And what did he say? Judgment, he said, shall first begin at the house of God. And look out, friends. It's coming. And I hope that you and I shall be escaping it by the mercy and by the free grace of Christ. Terrible thought when you think of it. When we realize that we have been once more keeping this Easter time, sometimes with sweet enjoyment, and sometimes with great fear in our hearts, asking what by what another year we shall see if we are spared. But I wonder how many of us are being prepared for the better country where sin and Satan and man and devils will never be known. How does this stand with you? How is your soul standing before this holy God? It may be that you will be with others trembling because of fear of what may come. The good man says in his hymn, think and tremble, death is now upon the road. But if it is, there is a rest from all toil for the people of God. I would appeal to you, I appealed Friday evening, the last part of my discourse to my congregation then, to search and look and inquire. And I would say the same to you. Make this urgent appeal for your own spiritual benefit, for your own profit, to ask the Lord how matters stand with you. What about the better country? Is it nothing to you? I know some's getting all mixed up, sometimes some of the outlook of some of our people, that we look on them to be as our people, that nearly frightens you. They say, we believe in the millennium, we believe in this, we believe in a better world, we believe in something better that's going to take place here. And I believe what Jesus said struck me a few nights ago in the twinkling of an eye. What a solemn thought, friends, if we are not prepared. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, and do you hope and pray that God is preparing you? It's sung, they sing it in the Sabbath schools, we sing it, we quote it, we talk together about it. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And how are you going to stand? In Christ's obedience clothed, and wash me in his blood, so shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. A better place with Christ than to be on earth with men, and oft times with the agents of the devil. You think of it. You may say, I don't quite agree with that statement. Well, you may not, but I do. The falseness of some, and the devilishness of Satan, and sometimes when all hell seems to be combined together in their forces against your never-dying soul, and you have to cry unto the God of your salvation, and this God who has given sinners to his dear Son Christ, and Christ Jesus, who claims them for his own and says they're mine. We come to this morning, they're mine. I would have told you that all these things were not true, and now I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. This is what I love to think of when the Lord gives me grace and feel that he's put me in a real place that I can really believe these truths. I can't in my own power, not in my own strength, but that he is coming again in love, not in anger to his people. The ungodly, yes. How are you going to stand? Where will you stand? Think of that great time when he comes and he has said, it'll be the sheep on one side, he said, and the goats on another. Think of that great chapter of the 25th, is it, of Matthew. Think of the virgins. Think of those that had oil and those who never had any. Think of those that had no fruit to their religion. Remember what he said in the last about these, and where they had never ministered and communicated to his people. Inasmuch as ye have not done it unto these, my brethren, ye have not done it unto me. Do you believe all these things? Believest thou this? Some truths are seem and appear so hard to believe, but it would be in that way because we still have a human nature and we are still human beings. We still have a contentious heart. We still are carnal. And sometimes we find the sensual part and the devilish part in operation. But when Christ, who is your light and your hope, shall appear, it will be different. All the powers of human nature are going to be quiet. The invitation here will be to those whom he has redeemed and whom he loves. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. I hope we each and all hear that blessed invitation. On earth, he said, he gave the gospel invitation, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We sing it. Come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. The wonders of mercy, the wonders of grace, are people that are called by divine grace and are given a blessed entry into the heavenly kingdom on high. What does he say of it? I will come again. Do you see the next part? And receive you unto myself. It is Christ and the sinner. It is the personal matter. And there's not one that's going to miss this great, great meeting, you know. Some almost think as if they can pass judgment on everyone else, and they're going to stand aloof, and the Lord is just going to let them into heaven without any direction, any gospel invitation, while on earth, and any forgiveness of sins. They won't get there. They, like you and I, will have great cause to know this Jesus as a personal Saviour with a knowledge which is experimental in a way that the Holy Spirit alone is able to teach you and me. You come back again to what we quoted. Ye must be born again. If we know nothing of that, we know nothing of Christ. We know nothing of salvation, and we shall know nothing of heaven. You may condemn me and say, well, you're too hard. I'm not. I'm particular. I'm very particular about this. This is the way. Walk ye in it, saith the Lord. This is the way of salvation. You and I can't make up our minds about being saved, can we? I've never known anything like that in my heart. I've always known the opposite. I will not have him. I don't want him. I resent him. I despise him by nature. Not now. Subduing. Of preparing. And in spite of all the onslaught of that old devil and carnal nature together and sin that's working within our members, don't forget, friends, that the Apostle Paul spoke of sin working in our members, causing you so much trouble and me so much trouble, my heart. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. They're all alike. They're all alike. They all have this trouble. Men have this trouble. Women have this trouble. I've never been more surprised sometimes with when dear women of God have opened up to me and said, do you know, I couldn't tell you what's in my heart, but I know this is no business be there. And so do the people of God. And there is a preparation in this way. Everything has to be gently and graciously subdued. We must be and shall be prepared for that heavenly kingdom. And what a blessed thought it is, you know, is put in this way to be with Christ, which is far better. I hope you are not hanging in with those who think that it's something that they have made up their mind about, and something you say, well, I can't understand this or that about the end of the world and so on. You read it time after time. And I don't think really there's too many people, even sometimes among our people, who are really deeply concerned about this end and about the preparation of heaven, about the rest, because so many are taken up with the material. so much time taken up in material things. They are put first. Came to me this afternoon when thinking of this text further. The Lord showed one exactly what was wanted. She said, the Lord said, Martha, Martha, one thing is needful. Sets you back, doesn't it? Brings you down. Makes you understand that you're taken up with so many material things. And yet the Lord will show us this one thing. Doesn't matter. One thing above everything else, and that's the important part. Grace. Faith in Christ. Faith in this bleeding Lamb. Hope of salvation in His name. How comfortable it is. An eye of faith looking beyond the other side of this world. And however at times we may feel, I feel this is a great thing with me. The God has determined and decreed that all here below shall be consumed. Everything. And when I view the beautiful, wonderful creation of God and admire it, and often driving along the road and I feel my heart is quite warm with love and adoration to Him for all He's done, yet sin has fought everything. Makes you to believe this the Lord does. O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. And the Lord's people groan to get out of it. And the Lord's people groan at times, wondering how much longer they are to be in this body of clay. Don't you sometimes want to say no? I'm always taken up with so much. Now, quite recently, a long way from here this happened, a deacon said to me after evening service, you know, for a long time nothing has touched me. And I don't like this. When those, you know, in office and so on, and ministers, and we get in the pulpit, say, well, nothing touches me, it worries me. I feel, well, this is where something should touch us. If we had nothing, if nothing touches us, there's something wrong. He said, nothing seems to have touched me for months. And he said, for a minute or two tonight, the word went right home. And I felt, what a wonderful blessing. It went home. But he said this. When Monday morning comes, I seem to have forgot everything. Do you? Do you forget Christ? Do you forget your soul? Do you forget eternity? Do you forget what a hope He raised up in your heart one time a day? Where is it? Where is it all gone? Is everything perished? Do you have to say with dear Job, my hope is perished from the Lord, is it? Oh, I implore you, friends, for the benefit of your own never-dying souls, that you will examine yourself to see whether ye be in the faith or not, by having this with God, sweet communion and imploring of Him, tell me, Lord, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, that thou dost really love me, because I want to love thee in return. Love on earth is the beginning of heaven above. And I don't wonder that dear old saints, many of them in their last hours, they were able to view with joy and adoration that wondrous man of whom we tell, that precious Christ that we sing of and speak of, when you consider this, to dwell with him in the place that he is preparing. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. So there's nothing haphazard about it. He has left it absolutely plain. It is not to the rich, and yet in and of themselves, it is not of the poor because they can't give it to themselves, but it is unto him and unto her that is of a contrite spirit and that trembles at his word. Now you will find whether or not that expresses what you are before God. Tell me, O Lord, assure me. Let's have this one settlement once and forever. And I want to know that my heaven will be where Christ is. And if on earth you have a few tastes, you know, of his love, it'll be when you are near him. Here it is, I find my heaven, as before his cross I stand. That's where he's showed to me at times, where my heaven is. My hope, my all, my Christ. My Lord, to be where he's presently, and never, never sin, from the rivers of his grace, drink endless pleasures in. And last of all, this Sabbath evening, leave you with this thought. It is with divine pleasure that he is preparing a place for his people. And I speak this reverently. Everything that he does and is doing for his people, he never grudges one blessing. All is free. All comes through the Lamb of God. And then at last, the family of God will be gathered together on earth. You and I will have no right then, as it is now. We don't want him, we don't want him, we don't want her. It's true. It'll be a blessing to be made as nothing. There to crown him at last, Lord of all. And who will get into this better country? Who will occupy this great mansion or mansions? The redeemed of the Lord. And the redeemed of the Lord will say so, says the Lord in his word. The redeemed of the Lord will say, rather they will sing this. We will raise the headstones and cry, grace. Grace unto. What a wonderful blessing. Sometimes I feel so surprised, the wonders of grace, when I look back with and remember with deep resentment the way I looked upon God and his dear Son, and now to realize with at times joy and sweet happiness felt in my own breast to try in a little simple way to tell the wonders of King Jesus. Having loved his own, he will love them. I would add this, and he won't condemn me for it. If you're one of these poor weaklings, he will love you with his people unto the end. We crown it with this, his own word. Because I live, ye shall live also. go home, and I hope I will be able to do the same and think on the smallness of those words. There's nothing great that we've said in word tonight, nor today, but shall and must. So simple. When applied, when shown, the Lord Himself shows to you and me this. A possibility that you and I might be numbered with His people. Haven't you prayed this within the last hours? Numbered with them, may I be now and through eternity. Amen.